is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
First tonight, let's take our hymn books together, please. 630. 630. It's just like His great love. Let's stand as we sing tonight. 630. I want you to go, if you're from this side, go over here, and if you're from here, go over there, meet somebody you maybe don't know their name and get to know them, all right? So let's shake hands tonight. Thank you. Amen. You glad you're saved? Amen. That was a scary experiment. This is kind of like the Mason-Dixon line. And we were afraid we'd have a civil war, but you did a good job. It was good to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. We're going to have a good time together in the house of the Lord. We want to congratulate Mark and Gretel Bowman. Do you have that picture for me, Brother Judge? There's their brand new baby. Is it Carter? Carson? Corinthians? I don't know. Oh, there we go. Is it Carter? Who's got the name for me? It's Carter. Okay, good. A little Carter there, so congratulations to Mark and Gretel Bowman. If you'd like to send them a little note or something, I'm sure they'd appreciate that. But the baby was born just Thursday or Friday. And so mom's doing well and the baby's doing well as well. So we'll praise the Lord for that. Brother Baker, you come and lead us.
That's great. God, we thank you so much for your love, God. Thank you for the opportunity to come back, hear another message from your word. God, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight. Help us to draw close to you. I pray that you'd bless this offering and use it to the furtherance of your work. In your name, amen.
good song.
Let's take our hymn books again, please. 632. 632. Let's stand as we sing He Loves Me. 632.
I had a picture of there walking into heaven, you know, because he lives. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, one day he's going to take us and take us by the hand and lead us into heaven. What a wonderful day that will be. Well, tonight we're having kind of an evangelistic service for the next program. We're going to be doing this once in a while to sort of boost our efforts for evangelism. Well, John Corbin is going to come right now and give a word of testimony, 5 minutes, and give a salvation story. And come on up, John.
Thank you very much. Okay. Ms. Britton, you've been waiting for this for a little bit now. I hope you don't hate me afterwards when you hear the life. Okay. I grew up in Chatham, Ontario. About grade 4 or grade 5, I was first exposed to anything with God or Christianity. That was back when the Gideon Society was allowed to actually come into the public schools and hand out the little Bibles. I was, you know, at that point of life, I didn't know much. I tried to read the Bible. I skipped through here and there, and I didn't know what I was looking for or how to read it. I was actually told by my mother to take it back to the school and give it back because you have your own religion. And I told her, I said, well, what is my religion then? She didn't have an answer, so I kept the book and I tucked it away on my bookcase. Years went by. I've joined the summer Bible classes. I enjoyed that. I looked for local churches. I got involved with the choir at one point, and I stopped going after 6 months because I just didn't know what I was looking for in that. When I got to high school, I had friends there that were Christian. They were trying to talk to me about Jesus, and they'd always tell me. I said I didn't really care to hear too much about him, and I couldn't believe that. How could he be the king of the Jews? I didn't understand how the Jewish people would have a king when all you hear is about the prime ministers and presidents. I could actually believe in Caesar Augustus, even though I didn't know he was in the Bible, but we had history texts and we heard all about him, so I can believe in him, but you just didn't hear too much about Jesus. It's not that I didn't believe, I just didn't understand it. I really didn't think I was that bad. I felt I was a spiritual person, pretty good. I never found God. I didn't think I need him. Once I hit college, well, that's when it got scary with me. I went downhill. I started partying and I got sucked into everything. I was a sponge. I wanted friends and I thought this was the way I could do. By my second year of college, which was around 1998, there wasn't a thing that I hadn't done or tried or did. What's out there, I'd done it. I've had a lot of very significant events in my life after I left college. Well, before I left college, I found out I was diagnosed legally blind at the age of 20. And then I left college, I moved to the States for a little while, and then I came back and I found myself, I was homeless. I was actually living behind the college and I had to beg a couple friends that actually helped me out because I was tired of having the rats nibbling on me at night. From there, I was able to reconnect with my mother. I hadn't spoken to her for years. I moved out to Tilbury, Ontario. I had many questions to ask her about the health because no one in my family had any of my same health concerns and problems. I'm just curious of where things were going. In 2001, I met Ruth. I tell you where we really met, but it's better if I tell you she picked me up at a bar. Yes, Ruth, I said that out loud. Which she really never did. It's just a joke. She played a big role in my life. She was always encouraging me. She helped me to overcome a lot of fears and difficulties I was facing. Ruth herself got saved in 2001, and she was an influence, and that it was an influence was also felt in our relationship. About 8 years ago, she found a company, or an organization, I should say, over the internet. It was called Juice for Jesus. She connected them to me without me knowing. They had offices in Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal. And the one gentleman called me and he came down to the house and we started doing Bible studies. And we started doing it over the phone because he was in Toronto. And it was easier that way. On September 28th, 2007, about 9:30, I was sitting in my kitchen and at the kitchen table in a Bible study. And I prayed to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. The feeling that came over me was indescribable. I sat there and wept as Jesus washed away my sins and gave me forgiveness for everything. I felt like someone dumped a bucket of water on me. It was like God had been leaving little breadcrumbs all along my life. And now I had found Him. For a few months, we attended a local church in Delhi until it closed down shortly after. Without being fed spiritually, with some old habits started to resurface, and they just weren't addressed. I felt lost. I had not having any place to get answers or questions, as I was not sure what I could trust, if I could ever trust another church again. And then there was the little program called the Help Campaign that showed up. Casey Fett came to our door, and she talked to me, not begging for the boys to come out, but she was very, very convincing. So we brought the kids out to VBS. That was the year Pastor Stone was here, and he nearly scared us. But we kept coming back and met a few more people, and it just felt like it was home here. So we've been coming here ever since. We've had our ups and downs in life. We've lost one child. God gave us a source of comfort and inspiration to help us along the way. Matt and Lana were literally very helpful to us. I kept looking, and I'm like, if Matt can keep up, hold his head up and smile, why can't I? So I did it, and I made it, and we made it through. We helped the family. I remember looking up to the sky, and I prayed to God, and I said, you know what? I don't understand why this is happening, but I'm going to say thank you right now. You're going to teach me a very valuable lesson out of this. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm thanking you now before I learn what it is, and I'll thank you again later. Ruth pulled away from everything, just wasn't talking, and we got a little rocky in that in our life. And then we finally got back to each other and we figured out what we were doing. And then we had Laylee. She was in the London hospital for over 2 weeks, almost a month. And we thank you all for your prayers for that. Driving up to Tillsonburg was very hard. I get sometimes up to Mount Elgin and fill up gas in the van, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. How do I keep going? And it's just a little bit, you'd hear a voice go a little bit further, you'll understand. And we'd run into, then we'd keep going. There was the fire station in Mount Elgin, and I looked over, and all I could think of is Fred Pankhurst. Well, if he can keep going as a firefighter for everything he goes, why am I struggling with this? And I kept going. And then just outside Tillsonburg, I kept seeing this one sign. It says, Psalms 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I've stuck to that verse. Well, we made it through. Here we are. Beautiful little girl and happy family. Still coming to church here. We got involved with the Master's Club. I've done the best I can with helping these children. The kids at school, at the public school, they all know me so well. They sit there and they all come running up and telling me and hugging me. And I keep handing out more tracts to them and keep inviting them out. We keep pushing the Master's Club to all of the kids as much as we can do. I guess that's it.
Thanks, John. Lord bless you. Thank you. I've always enjoyed John, you get on the bus with John, he's always smiling and cheerful, and same with the Master Clubs and whatever ministry that he's serving in. It's just wonderful to see people going on for the Lord So let's take our Bibles and turn tonight to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to verse 10. The text message is from Galatians 6:9, and it's the last part of the verse is the one that really spoke to my heart. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season, in God's due season. You know, I've kind of figured it out, our problem that we have. And we have a problem. And I was thinking about it this week. God has blessed us with so much that He's opened up the windows of heaven and poured such a blessing upon here at Bethel that we are unable to take it in. We have brought the tithes into the storehouse, and we're going out and we're witnessing, and we're praying, and we're seeking God, and God is blessing, and He's poured down a blessing upon us that we can't even take it anymore. And you say to me, what planet did you just get off? But we are blessed, aren't we? How God has blessed us so much. What a blessing to get up this morning and go on a bus that's a coach. And if Walt Harvey was here, if he could look down from heaven and see us picking up kids on a coach, he'd be, yeah, wow, that's great. Let's do it. Walt was that kind of a guy. Let's go get him. And to go out on the bus and then come back into a Sunday school program and teach in a Sunday school class. I had a wonderful time in our Sunday school class here this morning. And then to come here and hear the great preaching that we heard this morning and the singing, and we had a baptism, and then we had a dedication. Oh, we are a blessed people. God has poured out so much upon us that we can hardly take it in. And then we wonder why we have these difficulties. Well, maybe it's because we're not serving Him with joy and gladness for the abundance of all things that He's laid upon us. When He lays all these things upon us and we complain, that's certainly going to displease the heart of God, is it not? But if we're so thankful and we serve Him with joy and gladness, then He is going to pour out a blessing upon us that we will not be able to take it in. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and verse 10. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. How about if we apply this to prayer? If we apply this verse to prayer, that this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So if we apply this to prayer and praying every day, we're going to reap those wonderful things that we've been praying for. But if we just get up and we never pray, and we never pray during the day, and we never pray at night, how can we expect to reap anything that we've been sowing if we haven't been sowing anything? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And I know we apply this much to the money that we give, and maybe that's what we hold on to a lot. We seem to hold on to our wallet pretty tightly. And God wants, He wanted that wallet from that rich man that fell down and said, how do I get into heaven? He said, give all that you have to the poor and then come and follow me. Come and get saved. And he went away sad because he had great riches. He didn't want to give that. God went right to his wallet, what was holding him back. And maybe that's holding us back from really getting a hold of God. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You know, when we sow, we're going to reap. You know, I found one thing out as a farmer. If you don't put seed in, you're not going to have a harvest. You're not going to have. We did that one year. It rained on the farm with the weeders. It rained so much that spring that there was some fields that we couldn't get seed into. Guess what? We didn't have any harvest. We had to put tile in that. Marvin used the time to put tile in the ground. But if you don't plant, you're not going to get anything back. And the thing is, with soul winning, we can do that anytime. We can go out and plant seed anytime. There's no time like in the spring. The farmers around here, they plant the seed. But we can do it with the Word of God anytime. Anytime at all. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful. I pray that you would help me, Lord, to get some truth across to these dear folks. Lord, help us to be planting the Word of God, Lord, and watering it. And Lord, that you would give the increase, that you would give us a bountiful harvest, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your foul ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Galatians 6, verse 8 and 9, "For he that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." You know, the devil's crowd are going to reap what they've been sowing. And it's going to be for eternity. All the wickedness that they sow, it's going to be an abundant harvest of hellfire for eternity. I was on that road to 27 years of age. Had I died at that time, I had sown a lot of wickedness. And I would have reaped eternity in hell had it not been for the grace of God that saved my eternal soul and gave me a home in heaven. Praise the Lord. And you people, dear people here tonight, have been saved. Maybe there's one here tonight that's not saved. Get saved tonight. Don't wait. "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." If we pray, in due season, we will have a harvest. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you." You know, I preached here a while ago on asking for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to fill you. And it's a matter of keep asking. Well, after I taught that lesson, God spoke to my heart, and I found out how much prayer has to go in to being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit," and He fills you right away. I mean, there has to be some prayer. There has to be some sowing before you reap that benefit of the Holy Spirit. You need to keep asking, Matthew 7:7. And James 5:16 said, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." Brother Baker prayed that tonight in the pastor's office about a harvest of souls, that we need to pray that the Lord will send forth laborers. And you know what? Sometimes when you pray, When you pray for that to happen, God might tap you on the shoulder. And you might be the one that God's going to send into the harvest field to see people saved. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. There has been fruit in the NETS program. I seen it. We were on the bus last week, and I seen children that were coming out because of people out knocking on doors that were invited because of the NETS program. And it's just, it could just be the start of something. You know, God will give an increase if we're faithful and we continue and we are obedient and we believe God that he says when he says go that he will be with us and he will bless us. When he says pray that if we pray that God will bless us. And if he says read your Bible and we read the Bible, he will bless us. The Lord will decide when the due season is. But there will be a due season. God says there will be a due season. And he will bring the due season. We can't force it. If we faint not. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Paul was in jail. Had been beaten. And here he is. And Silas singing and praising God. And they had been beaten on their back. They had wounds in their back. And here they are singing and praising God. It's no wonder they were blessed of God. It's no wonder the jails opened up and God released them. They were faithful servants of God that suffered in joy. They had joy in suffering for Jesus. Psalm 68 verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah, think on this. That loadeth us, that daily loadeth us with benefits. If God took it all and he poured it all on us at once, we wouldn't be able to take it all in. But he loads us daily, daily with benefits. Even when we're in sin and we've sinned against God and we're carnal against God, he loads us with benefits that we might come back to him. He pours his mercy upon us and chastises us and brings us to a place of repentance that we might come back and have that joy of the Lord in our heart again. He loadeth us daily with benefits. He doesn't say here, this is your birthday. I'm going to give you all this wonderful stuff today and it's going to do you for the year. He loaded us daily. Every day he loads us with benefits. We really need to take stock. It'd be encouraging for you to go home tonight and think about how God has blessed you. That you have a home to go home to. Where there's many refugees in this world that don't have a place to lay their head tonight. And God has given you a home and given you food and given you a vehicle and given you a wonderful church and a great pastor and deacons and a beautiful church and just a wonderful, the blessings of God. We need to take stock of how God has blessed us with these benefits. Psalm 81 verse 10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He's speaking to the children of Israel, but we can apply this to our life also. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And some of the people that we went to Mandarin with, they noticed that I got my mouth full pretty good. They were looking to see if my eyes were smiled because Chinese, because I was eating so much Chinese. I better not say that. I might get myself in trouble. But I enjoyed it. Eileen got a picture of me just about to dig in. That was funny, Eileen, wasn't it? Boy, a big smile on my face. I was looking forward to that meal. But he gives us so much. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Let's not complain and grumble about the blessings that God is pouring upon us. Let's take them in and say, thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness to me. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 32. If you have your Bibles here tonight, Matthew chapter 25. We'll be reading a few verses. Matthew chapter 25 and beginning in verse 32. Now, I know this is talking about the second coming of the Lord and gathering in the nations. But also we're going to have a great white throne, and we can apply this to this also. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king, he's the king. He's the only real king, you know that? He's set up kings and thrones, but this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is our king. This is the king that we come to in prayer every morning, that we come to read his word, that we're here tonight. We're serving the king, and he's a great king. He's a king to be feared. Say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited. The king was sick. The king was unclothed. The king was hungry. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And this is part of our sowing for Jesus, that we do these things for people, that we have compassion on people, that we visit people in jail, that we visit the afflicted, that we help those that are in need, those that have trouble. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, you know, that will be all those things that God uses us for. We sow these things, then we're going to reap. We're going to reap eternity. Righteousness with God, his righteousness for eternity. Because of holy living. Because we live for Jesus. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, these are the children of the devil. These are his children. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. The rich man can contest. He can talk about this. He's in hell burning forever. And he's seen Lazarus and never give him a crumb off his table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The animals had more mercy on Lazarus than this human being had on a man. The animal kingdom had more mercy than a man had on another man. There's something wrong there, isn't there? For I was a hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. This is the king speaking. The king is saying, I'm the one that you never did these things to. I was a stranger and ye took me not in, naked and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison and ye visited me not. And they're gonna have to look into the face of Jesus, into his face, and see what they have done. What a awful thing that man is going to have to face up to. Verse 43, I was a stranger and ye took me not in, naked and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered or thirst, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. That they did it not to us, that they scorned us, that they laughed, that they mocked us, that they tormented us, that they tortured us, that they tortured the Christian. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. They have their part in the lake of fire. The wicked have a part in the lake of fire. That is going to be their reaping for eternity. They will reap the flames of hell for eternity for their wickedness that they've done on this earth. With their hands, God allows them to do these things. They have the power in their hand to use their hand for evil. And men are doing it today. Men are sticking their hand into the baby's womb and destroying it. They will give an account one day. Pastor emailed me a video. And the question the guy raised, what is the unborn? What is the unborn? Can you answer that? Is it a vegetable? Is it a cabbage? Or is it a human being? We heard about it in the message this morning that the infant kicked its way out of the womb, opened the womb of the mother. The infant that opened, that was a live human being that opened the womb of the mother. What is the unborn? They can't answer that. But yet they destroy human life. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. If we speak God's word and keep it and do it in due season, we will have a harvest. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, you don't have to turn there because you know this verse. If we speak God's word, you know, if we pray in due season, we will have a harvest. If we speak God's word and keep it and do it in due season, we will have a harvest. Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there in day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So, if we expect to sow, we're going to have to reap with God's word. I mean, if we expect to reap, we're going to have to sow with God's word. We're going to have to sow His word in our area, in the world, that there might be a harvest that God will bless. This church has had many a great harvest. There was a small harvest this morning. The people that were saved and baptized, added to the local assembly. This is part of a harvest. And many a due season has passed. There has been many a harvest here in Bethel. There has been many a time of revival. Monroe Parker preached here one time. And Dr. Strachan went out, and maybe some of you remember, he went out to shake hands. And Monroe Parker went out to shake hands with him, and the place was dead still. I wasn't here. I heard about it. This was about a year before I came here. Maybe some of you remember it. Merv remembers it. And nobody moved. And Dr. Strachan said, I guess God's not finished. And they came back in, had an invitation, and the pews were full with people weeping and getting right with God and getting right with each other. That was a time of harvest through prayer, through Bible preaching, through soul winning. And we've had some great times here at Bethel in God's due season. This church has had many great harvests, and many a due season has passed. But there are many seasons of harvest ahead in due season. And when it is due, God will do it. We can't do it. We can't work it up. We can't be Superman and send revival. The preacher can't do it. I can't do it. The deacons can't do it. Only God can do it. What is a miracle? My wife teaches her little kids there in kindergarten. They know what a miracle is. Some of those little kids, they say, Mrs. McPherson, I can tell you what a miracle is. And Jen will say, what is it? Something only God can do. Something only God can do. Amen? And if we're going to see revival, it's going to be something only God can do in His due season, if we obey Him. If we obey Him, it's simple. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. That's why we got in all this trouble, because Adam and Eve did not obey and submit to God's Word. We need to submit to God's preaching. When we have a preacher come in here and preaches with power and might, and we sit there and we don't move, how are we going to expect anything to happen? There's not going to be any harvest of souls if we sit in our pews. We've got to go out. We've got to tell people about Jesus. It doesn't have to be a planned time. You can be in a grocery store and you can give somebody a tract. You can tell them about Jesus. You can be visiting somebody. You can be in a hospital. You can be put in hospital. And you can be a witness to somebody. I remember I was in hospital for a week in Brantford. There was a guy beside me. He was 91 years old. I led him to the Lord. Maybe God put me in the hospital for that reason. We have opportunity. God gives us opportunity, but we need to yield to Him. Nehemiah, after the captivity scene revival, the people had been through so much, and now they're going back into the promised land, and they're looking forward to serving God again. And the people wept and then had great gladness. And should not we also enjoy these times of rejoicing when God, the Lord of the harvest, gives us a harvest of souls in His season, in due season? We should rejoice along with it. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. We'll read a couple of verses there and we'll be finished. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8 to verse 17. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. You know, that's so important for a preacher today, to have people understand. I can remember being in college and the professor said, K-I-S-S, what's that? Keep it simple, stupid. Okay. So people can understand. Put it down where they can. Dr. Strachan would say, put the peanut butter and jam down on the shelf where the kids can get it. So we can get it. So we can understand it. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshah, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And I don't think that it was wrong for them to weep. But he's saying, now the weeping's over. Now you're going to have some joy. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you meet somebody that's always complaining, you know, that's always down mouth at you, and you have the joy of the Lord on you, and you're smiling and you're laughing, they're not going to hang around you long. If you're not giving them an ear, you're not going to have to listen to all that complaining. If you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, they're not going to want to get near you. They want to get near someone that's going to grumble along with them. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your feast, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. After the harvest, they celebrated for 8 days. 2 days were rest. And they had great gladness because of God's blessing. This was also celebrated to remember God's provision in their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Verse 15. And that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, say, Go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. Now, there's not too much recorded in Scripture about this all taking. They didn't practice this the way that they should have, but now they're getting back to it. Verse 16. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and his courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim, and all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. So since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great, what's the next word? Gladness. There was very great gladness. They had come back to the Lord, and there was revival taking place, and they had wept, and they had taken the word of the Lord, and they were obedient to God's word, and God blessed them, and they had great gladness. They had great joy in their life serving the Lord. That's what we need in our life. Great joy for the abundance of all things. Last verse, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let us not be weary in well doing, so for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. In due season, in God's season. But there will be a season, and there is a due season. Let's look forward to some of these due seasons here at Bethel. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for your goodness. Help us to be fervent for you, Lord, to have a great zeal to see people saved. Help us to have a burden, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts. Lord, that you would use this time to glorify your name. If we would stand, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed, stand to your feet, and there's going to be an invitation. If you would like to come forward and pray, maybe there's somebody that you'd like to pray for. Maybe your heart needs to be set back on fire for the Lord. Or maybe you're on fire, but you'd like to be more on fire for the Lord. You'd like to do more for the Lord. You say, I'd like people to pray for me also by coming here and praying at the altar. The altar is open. If you would like to come and pray now, please come to pray. Pray for souls.
Still praying, we'll allow you to be seated while the piano plays. We'll let them finish praying. All right, great message tonight. Thank you, Pastor McPherson. We appreciate that. I hope your heart was challenged. We have a few things to make announcement of. Don't forget this Saturday, October 24th, wedding for Kristen and Kevin. And we're looking forward to that at 1 o'clock right here at the church. All right. Don't forget that if you have something you can contribute to the Remembrance Day display that we're putting out in the foyer for Sunday, November 8th, please go ahead and bring that into the office to Cindy Fett. And we'd appreciate that so much. If you got one of these in your bulletin, please fill it out. 83rd anniversary banquet. Looking forward to a great day and a great evening. That's for our dinner. And so please let us know how many are coming so we have a place set for you. We have enough food for everybody. That night we'll have Pastor Gord Connor preaching and the Calvary Quartet singing. We're looking forward to a great weekend. Sunday this year we're going to do it a little bit differently. At 10 a.m. there will be no Sunday school. We'll meet right in here for our morning service. And we're going to have a Remembrance Day service at 10 a.m. And we'll do a little bit of some things there to remember our troops and pray for those overseas. Also that day, I don't think the Strides are here tonight, so I can mention this. Josh Stride had just got notice this week that he's been accepted to the Canadian military. He'll be leaving that day to fly out to basic training. And so at the banquet that the night before, we're going to present him with a Bible and pray for him as he goes off to serve our country. And we appreciate that so much. His dad was a little choked up this morning about it. He said it'll be 10 years to the day since we came to Canada. And now our son is going off to serve his country. And so they just became citizens just a few months ago and already enlisted in the Army. So pray for Josh. I know he'll appreciate that. We're going to do something special for him at the banquet. Sunday morning, 10 a.m., we're going to have a joint service in here, a Remembrance Day time. We'll continue right on with our service. And then that'll leave us some extra time at the end. We'll have some little special music from the Calvary Quartet, a little extra time for some special music. And so that'll be a great day in the house of the Lord. Tomorrow night, cantata practice begins. If you'd like to be a part of the Christmas cantata, please speak to Mrs. Baker and come tomorrow night and be ready to sing. And I guess that's about all the announcements I need to make right now. Don't forget, November 14th, young people have a team visitation, breakfast together, and a sports time together. And so all those things are in your bulletin. Make sure you read them and mark them on your calendars. And we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. If you're here tonight and you're part of the NETS program, we're going to have our NETS meeting in just a moment. So as soon as we dismiss in prayer, we'll encourage those that are part of the program to go to your various areas. Brother McPherson will come up and instruct us on that. And we'll have our meetings and we'll be on our way. All right, let's stand and have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the word of God tonight. We pray that you would bless it to our hearts. Encourage us to do more for Jesus Christ and be faithful because we know that we will reap in due season. Father, bless us as we go our separate ways. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. You are dismissed. If you're here for the next meeting, just have a seat for a moment longer.
Team supplication, that's Ray and Lorraine, will be meeting in the Olive Room. Team saturation, Brad and Lori Tuck, will be next to the Olive Room. And team salutation, will be meeting over here in the auditorium. And team salvation, Tony and Lori on this side here. Thank you.